As you can see on the screen, we'll talk for a little bit this morning about God changes everything. Aren't you glad God can change everything? No matter what you're going through, God can change it. No matter what you're battling, God can fix it. No matter where you're at in life, God can move and make things different than they are today if we believe that God is still a living, moving, breathing God. So we're going to start in Psalms 32. And first of all, we have to change our thinking sometimes. We have to understand that God does love us, that God did create us, that none of us are here by accident. You may think you were. You may think, what was mom and dad thinking? He should have been drunk. But you wasn't here by accident. You were here because God spoke life and you came forth. And God loves you and God wants a relationship with you. And start out by saying this. I ran into an old buddy of mine, and he's going to come visit one Sunday, he said. If he is, I want to give his testimony. Some of you would know this guy. A childhood friend of mine. And ran into him the last couple of days. And we got talking. And by his own admission, he was just an old sinner boy. And ran from God, was really bad, and just was a sinner. And at 30 years old, God touched him. Now, why I'm saying this is because I knew the before guy and now the after guy, so I've seen the change. And this guy went to a church service. Somebody invited him. He went. The pastor talked to him after the service. He gave his heart to the Lord with the pastor one-on-one. And he said, because I asked him, I said, was there an immediate change when that happened? He goes, immediate. Immediate change. Everything changed. I got on fire. He said, all the strongholds were broke. Everything changed. Now, I want to see, and this is where God has me today on this message. We have to believe that God can still bring real change into our lives. Real change, not a pretend change, not a false salvation, not a say a few words, say a little prayer, but I hadn't really changed. This guy I knew before, and then I know now. And there was a dynamic, 100% change in their life. And he says it was immediate. I immediately began to follow a different path, that I was on a bad path. And God just, it changed me. 30 years old, it took him to get to this point. 30. And now he's on fire, works in a ministry, feels like God maybe can call him to pastor. And here is a person that was on the run, on their way to hell because of their rebellion, and said, God touched me and God changed me. Now, I want to see that in this generation, real change. Not pretend change, not false change, but a real change to where our heart truly follows the Lord. How does this happen? We first must have our thinking change, because there are so many of us that think that God would never accept us or never forgive us for what we have done, that we've done too much to ever forgive us, or that he sees us as we see ourselves. I'm going to tell you, aren't you glad God Almighty doesn't see you like you see yourself? Because when I look in the mirror, I don't like what I see a lot of times, church. I don't like what I see in me. And to think that God sees me differently, that God sees me as his righteous, beloved child, his son in whom he is well pleased. He sees me as forgiven. He sees me as sanctified. He sees me as set apart. He sees me as beautiful and holy, not because of what I've done, but because of what he has done in me. And we have to change our thinking. We must realize first what God has done. And these verses tell us what God has done for our lives. Psalms 32, we'll read 1 through 5. Blessed, which means happy or fortunate, is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's the grace of Jesus, that our transgressions are forgiven, that our sin is covered because of what he has done. Melly pointed out this fact. We're celebrating the birth of our Savior. But it's more than a manger scene. It's more than a North Star. It's more than three wise men. It's more than animals in a stable. What happened 2,000 years ago was grace touched the earth. Grace came from heaven to fill the earth, to let each one of us know you don't have to carry your burden or your guilt or your shame or your pain one day longer. I came to remove it, to heal it, and to set you free. You don't have to be chained to what you've always been, but you have been set free by the cross of Jesus Christ. You are forgiven if you are in the blood. You are worthy. You are holy in his sight. You are beautiful. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. If you get this verse, that my sin has been covered because Jesus covered it for me. I couldn't do it myself. Jesus covered it. We got to change that thinking. So many of us feel so unworthy. We can't get past the reels of our past. It rolls through our minds day and night. All of our actions, all of our deeds, all of our junk, all of our stuff, all of our rebellion, all the things we've seen, done, said, hurt people. And that's all that rolls. And the devil keeps playing that reel in our mind over and over and over. And that's all we see. But when we see Jesus as who he is, when we see ourselves as Jesus sees us, then we will walk in newness of life. And the old sin will fall away because we'll realize I don't need that no more. Jesus has set me free. I'm not a slave to what I used to be. I'm a son to who I belong to. That changes everything. We don't have to keep carrying that junk on us no more. Let it go by realizing your sin is covered if you are in Christ Jesus. There are so many Christians still struggling with this. So many believers that can never see themselves as God sees them. God came to set us free. God came to make us whole. God came to save us from ourselves. God came to change our heart, to change our mind, to change our nature. And there is still a true change that takes place under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Things change. And I want to see in this generation real change, not the hype of a change. Not, and I will tell you, I want to be very clear with this. It has nothing to do with a church or a pastor or any preacher. It has to do with relationship with him, period. A relationship with God Almighty himself. You entering in one-on-one with him. Do not be deceived by the hype of you've got to have this. I'm telling you, as your pastor, all you need is Jesus. You don't need me, church. You don't need this church. You need Jesus. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and change your ways, and he will set the captives free. That's what we need, is a dose of Jesus. If I was a doctor, I'd prescribe everybody, take one of these a day. It's called JP. It's blue because that's royalty. It's a blue pill, JP, Jesus pill. Take one a day and you'll never be sick. Take one a day. You'll never. I mean, I'm telling you, if we could learn to rest in our relationship with him, to rest in that relationship and actually have one. You know, I find myself, and I'm pretty transparent. I'm going to be very honest with you. I find myself thinking, God, am I really in love with you, or am I in love with the church? Or in love going through the motions, or in love with being a pastor. Well, we know that's not true. Am I in love with you, God? What am I really in love with? We need to be in love with the Lord. I mean, that's where the connection happens. If you've ever had a failed marriage or a faltered marriage, maybe now you're struggling in your marriage, you understand in the best of it, when you really love your spouse, it's hard. How much more when you don't really love your spouse? You're going through the motions of marriage. Getting up, morning, like the old Andy Griffith episode, you know, where they were arguing, throwing pans, and Andy tried to help them. Good morning, honey. Morning, dear. Morning, honey. Morning, dear. Are we going through those motions? Or do we really want to be married? I can tell you, I want to be married. I like being married. I like having a whip on me. I like the ball and chain. I'll drag it all day long, for I'd rather not have it. You know why? Because I got the right ball and chain. I got the right one. And when you got the right one, it's worth it. Because me and Melanie are in a covenant relationship. We stood 21 years ago at an altar with a man of God taking our vows, entering into a covenant relationship, becoming one flesh. So my thoughts, our thoughts are shared. Our lives are shared. Our emotions are shared. Everything is shared. Our kids are shared. Everything is shared with us. We're in a covenant relationship. No matter what changed in 21 years, I love my wife. And I miss her when I'm not around her. She is my best friend. I would rather go out with her than drink with the boys any day of the week. Though I don't drink. Y'all know that. I'm just saying. Give me my wife. That's who I want to be with me. Because I love her. I want to be with her. I want to do things to bless her life. When we're in a relationship with Jesus, a real one, We don't have to try to love them. We love them. We don't have to try to prove ourselves to them. We just abide in them. Because we're in a covenant relationship. And what I see in the generation that we live in is people don't want real change. They want a superficial change or a temporary thing. Or an appearance. Remember the Bible says that there'll be a form of godliness but no power thereof. A form of it. Church, everybody raised their hands, isn't saved. Every church setting, God may not be in it. There's a form of godliness, but if there's no power, what power am I talking about? The power for a changed life. I'm talking about the power that a drug addict or an alcoholic or a homosexual or a person so tormented with demons, when they walk in the presence of God, they're shackled by that. But when they call his name and when they leave that place, they are set free. They are delivered by the power of God. There is no what if. No, it ain't about what if. It is it will be. It shall be done. The chains shall fall. That's the kind of deliverance and the kind of setting free I'm talking about. And that's still operating today, and God's still that same kind of God. Real change. Not a false change, but real change. Because there are people, they don't even know what they're starving for. They don't even know what they're hungry for. You ever, after church, you know, you're talking to your wife or husband, you say, what do you want to eat? I don't know what you're in the mood for. What you in the mood for? And they don't matter. What you in the mood? You know, what are you in the mood for? There's so many people that don't know. They know they're in the mood for something, but don't know what. It's called relationship with the Lord. Relationship, not religion. Not sacraments, not going through the motions, but to know that your sin's forgiven, covered, and your transgression's forgiven, that should give us such hope in thinking, God, you don't see me as I see myself. You have truly forgiven me. Think about if you could go back. I know there'll be a hush in the crowd here. What if we could go back and do a rewind and not do everything we've done? Whew. Wouldn't you give anything? There's not enough money you could spend to say, God, if I could go back and rewind. I know some thinking is it got me where I'm at, and I understand that, you know, everything's got a plan, a purpose. But I'm saying there are regrets we have that we wish we could go back and fix or change, and we can't. But Jesus did. Jesus fixed it. Jesus put his stamp of approval and says, you no longer are under the obligation of this sin. I have wiped it away. You are as free and as clean as if you have never done it before. That's what grace is. That gives us a real love for God to know, God, you mean? Because here's what we think. Now, I want you to bear with me this morning because I want to get through this message. If I go over a little bit, it's okay. Y'all be all right. Y'all need to come to church more anyway. I can't get you your other two services, so you can stay longer this morning. Here's the thing. Man, I lost my train of thought, stupid devil. We see ourselves dirty and unforgivable. We see ourselves we define ourselves by our mistakes and our past. But God defines by our future of where we're going. We are kingdom bound, church. Kingdom bound as God's people. This is not our world. This is not where we're going to always be. It's a temporary transition into his kingdom, which goes on forever and ever. And if we could see ourselves as truly being clean in his sight. Now, I'm talking about after we repent. I'm talking about after repentance. God, you know, then we're clean. Then we are clean. The devil keeps reminding us of all that we are, but we need to remind ourselves of what God says that we are. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Go to the next verse. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. In other words, God's not going to impute iniquity upon us because we've been forgiven. There's no charge. Here's what I was going to say a while ago. Lord brought it back to me. Thank you. Here's what we think sometimes. That we're walking the earth, and when God sees Bruce thinking, okay, God, when you see me, you're seeing every mistake I made, every failure I've done. You're seeing what I did last night, 2 weeks ago, 3 years ago, 7 years ago. You know, you see everything I've done. But God, according to Scripture, when he forgives us, doesn't see those mistakes anymore. He sees us. And this is what's mind-blowing. This is what the devil don't want you to hear. And for some of you extreme religious folks, get a hold of this, because some of you ain't going to like it because you want to shout me down, but this is the gospel. when we truly have the forgiveness of God, He is no longer holding what we have done against us. There are so many people trying to preach judgment and doom to you, man, that you live in fear your whole life. Judgment has been handled at the cross, and we are set free by that blood. Free forever of our sins. But we keep seeing ourselves that way. And so we don't change because we think that's what we are. I can't change. Preacher, I can't change. I've tried. Yeah, you've tried. That's the problem. Just let God do the work. Just rest in God and say, God, I can't change. I can't fix this. But you can. You can change everything. And I need you to change my heart, change my mind, change how I think about myself and about what you think about me. Because I know if I've been forgiven, God, you're not seeing me no more as guilty, but you're seeing me as innocent. You're seeing me as if I've never sinned before. Now that I'm telling you, when we get that in our mind, that when we come to God in repentance, say, God, forgive me my sins and cover me, Lord. I am sorry. I acknowledge my sin before you. And that's an important ingredient. A lot of people don't want to admit to. That's an important ingredient, church. We have to acknowledge our sin. We have to acknowledge that we're wrong and that we're in need of a Savior. We can't play game to say, well, God, you know, whatever. We got to say, God, I have sinned against you. I am wrong, and I repent of that. Now, repent means more than saying I'm sorry. Repent means changing. True repentance means we change, not to say we're sorry. Because saying we're sorry without changing doesn't change anything. But when we repent, it means we change our mind, we change our thinking, we change our way, and we go a different way than we did before. That's what real repentance is. And that's where real change comes. And that's where the desire of God, when we really get it, comes in our heart. And we don't want to be the way we used to because we want to be different. Because God changes us. He changes our heart. Just think about that. God sees us as though we had never sinned. Why would we not love a God like that? To know He sees us as if we had never sinned. Now, a lot of folks don't like that because they want to stand at the throne of judgment and have all their dirty laundry rolled out on the floor and the throne of God and listed and all this. But once again, we've got to understand what grace and works is. If this is a works gospel, then yeah, every one of your works will be displayed if you believe in works. But if you believe in grace, you got to believe grace covered all the works. Grace covered it. We cannot get to heaven by our works and by our merit. But what does happen is when God truly changes our heart, then we want to do the works of God. We want to follow Him. We don't want to displease Him. Not out of fear of hell and judgment, but because we love Him. Because we love Him. You know, we feel guilty in our mind if we're doing something against God. We feel that guilt because we love Him. I don't want to do this to you, God. What am I doing? I got to get out of this. I got to snap out of this. What am I doing? Because we love Him. Next verse. Oh, hang on. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. When I wasn't saying anything. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. When we confess, God said He will forgive us. Church, that means it's gone forever. We bring it back up. The devil brings it back up. People bring it back up all the time. But no, not God. You know, it's easy for us to judge other people when their lives turn around. But if God's forgiven them, truly forgiven them, then they are forgiven. And we need to trust they are forgiven. It's like, I'm forgiven. You know, I've heard a little bit of slack about Ray Lewis. Some of you know Ray Lewis. He's a football player, retired last year, was a Hall of Fame linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. And he retired last year, and he had an incident years ago with a gun or shot somebody or something, and kind of was a bad boy in his early years. Well, he found Jesus. He's very open with his faith now. He talks about it all the time. Works in ministry. And I've heard people talk about, did he really change? Because I remember when Ray was like that. I remember when he did that. Now he's all of a sudden he's found Jesus. You know, that's not for any of us to really judge, is it? Because if you judge Ray Lewis, you better look in the mirror and judge yourself. Because I was an alcoholic, I was a wife beater, I was a cusser, I was a cheater, I was a fornicator, I was a drunk, I was a whatever. So, if you're going to look at that, look at your own life. Would God really forgive me then? Have I really got the real deal? See, when God truly forgives you, when we truly find peace in Him, the past is gone. And man, all we got left is future waiting on us. That's a beautiful thing to know. God can change everything if we'll let Him. God can change our mind. He can change our heart. He can change our situation if we will allow Him to. And I want to see real change. I mean, where hearts truly are turned over and they come serving the devil, but they leave serving God. True change. Not somebody telling them they changed. I want to tell you something. If somebody's got to tell you you've been saved, you probably ain't got nothing. If somebody's got to tell you you've been saved, somebody's got to tell you. I mean, if you got to always struggle and wonder, you know, well, am I really saved? I don't know. I want to tell you, when you really get it, you ain't got to wonder no more. You know that you are. Church, I know I sin, but I know I'm saved. I know I fail, but I know I'm saved. I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no doubt about that. Through my failures, through my struggles, through all my issues, I know my name is written in His book. And when the seals are broke, it shall be preserved. Just as it was written in 1980, it will still be there. It won't be marked out or smudged out or erased. It is there because I am in Christ Jesus forever. And I know that. And when you know that you've been saved, can't nobody tell you you're not. And if you challenge that or not sure about that, make that right. And say, Lord, I want to assure that I do know you. I want to assure. Something I see today that we're in great need of. And we used to have this expression. Well, we still hear the expression in some churches, but used to hear it a lot back in the older days. It's called rededicating my life. We've heard of that. I want to rededicate my life. I've been saved, but I want to rededicate my life. What does rededication mean? It means we've drifted far from God. We've drifted away somehow. We've let sin come in. We've let whatever come in. And we're not where we used to be with God. We don't walk the same way. We don't pray the same way. We just feel cold and distant. Maybe we're living in sin right now. We know we shouldn't be living in sin. And we want to make things right. Then we call that rededication. Where we come back to God and say, God, I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge I've been wrong. And I want to rededicate. God, I want to recommit my affirmation to you. I want you to take over my life today and begin to strengthen me again and lead me again, guide me again. God, I want to rededicate and start fresh. Wouldn't it be great to have a fresh start sometimes? I mean, you ever think about, I know me and Melanie do all the time. We all dream about that. I mean, we talk about it all the time. I actually asked Dad this question a few months ago, and my dad's a big dreamer. He's got a great vision. I said, Dad, if you could move anywhere in the world, where would you want to move? You know what he said? Taylorsville. Are you kidding me? Taylorsville. Okay. High dreams, my father, I tell you. Good Lord, Taylorsville. But wouldn't it be great? Because we all think about this, right? If we could start over anywhere, where would we go move to? Where would our new life be at? You know, I know Christian would move to Disney World. I mean, she would actually move to Disney World. She would live on campus behind the castle. She was sleeping in the Dumbo ride. I mean, whatever. You know, I know Melanie would be somewhere tropical or the beach somewhere, you know, start over somewhere like that. Some of you may be the mountains, but I could start over in a mountain somewhere. Some of you may be across the nation or even across the world. But we all think about that. What if I could start over? What if I could just do a do-over? And I could just pick up my bags and go somewhere, nobody knows me, and just completely start over. We all think about that. I think about that. You know, it's kind of nice when you go somewhere you haven't been before and nobody knows you. You know, that's kind of nice. You go on vacation somewhere, you go for a couple-day trip, and you don't know anybody there. That's kind of nice. They don't know who you are. That's nice. That's what Jesus did. He gave us a do-over. We can start fresh with Him. All of our past can be forgotten. And church, I mean forgotten. You know, we as humans say, well, I forgive, but I won't forget. Well, let me go a little deeper here with the things of God. God truly forgets because He doesn't hold it against us anymore. He forgets. He forgets. I just love you. I love the prodigal son story. It's a beautiful story of a son who wanted his inheritance and The Bible says he went out and he lived his own life and did his own thing and blew his money and lived for evil. And then he came to himself one day and he's like, what am I doing in this pig pen? What am I doing in this mire? I don't belong here. I spent all my money, all my inheritance. I've shamed my father's name. You know, I can't get a job. I'm broke inside and out. I'm broke. What do I do from this point on? And then he said, I remember I've got a father I can go back to if he'll accept me. And he's got a lot of servants. And I'll go back to my dad's house and say, can I at least be a servant? Just let me come back home and do something. I ain't got to be your son no more, but let me at least just have somewhere to live and eat and sleep. And the Bible says when the son began to walk and march and run, or when he saw his son coming from far off, the Bible says the father ran to him, wrapped him in his arms, says, welcome home, son. You not mad at me, Dad? No. You still love me? Yes. You not going to scold me? Mm-mm. Am I going to be punished? No. There's got to be a catch? No. I'm just glad you're home. I'm just glad you're home. And the Bible says the father put the robe back on him, the ring back on him, and they threw a party. I mean a party. Why would you throw a party? Because my son was lost, but now he has been found. He was blind, but now he sees. And my son has come home. That's how God feels about you. My child has come home. God's not going to scold you for saying you're wrong. He already knows you're wrong, and you know you're wrong. He's not going to punish you because you confess. He's not going to say, okay, you fessed up, now here's the price. It's not how God works. God embraces, and God loves, and God forgives, and God restores, and God heals. And God says, now we can move forward. Now you got that junk behind you. Take my hand, and let's go forward. God can change everything. Now, I do believe, church, in order to see the kingdom of God, we must be born again. We must be saved. Salvation is more than a prayer. Salvation is your heart reaching out to God and crying out to Him, saying, God, help me. I need you. I need you to forgive me of my sins. You know, I did something yesterday, and I just want to share it. I'm not going to share much, but I want to share something yesterday. Because, and I'm sharing to help encourage you. I have no shame in putting myself on the line for the body of Christ. I really don't. I just don't have a lot of shame there. I'm pretty open. Because I want to help somebody here today. You know, I got saved when I was 9 years old. I'll never forget it. Went to the altar and gave my heart. I knew I was there for. I don't remember necessarily if it was necessary. I started thinking back if it was necessarily a... It wasn't like a sinner's prayer type thing, but I remember I went up there to give my heart to Jesus, and I know I came back with that. I know that. But through all the years, time has took a toll. And, you know, I'm 42 years old, married for 21 years with 3 kids, pastor of church for the last 12 years. And you know what? Life has a way of getting the best of us, chipping away at us. And so I find myself yesterday reflecting and thinking about what I always preach, salvation, being born again. And so I did something yesterday. I prayed the sinner's prayer just for my own life. I know I was saved, but I felt drawn to do that because it was so long ago I really made that commitment. But I feel like I needed to kind of reestablish that just for my own peace. And I remember saying, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I acknowledge you, Jesus. I wanted to hear myself say that as an adult now. I said, Lord, I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all I've ever done. Restore strength and peace into my life. And I acknowledge you as my King and my Lord. Now, that was a very personal moment I had. And the only reason I'm sharing it is to encourage you that don't be too proud because you said a prayer when you were little. Don't mean you can't say the same prayer again as an adult. God knew my heart. I wanted to acknowledge Him with my mouth and really confess Him. Because as a pastor, I preach it, I pray, I believe, I'm saved. But I don't know to hear those words come out of your mouth. It says something. There's a reverence and humility to bow before God letting those words come out of your mouth. I acknowledge you, Lord, that you are my King and my Lord. And I know, Lord, You have saved me and forgiven me of all my sins, and I thank you for it. There's something about that. I think it's important we stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit and we don't get hardened by that. Because the world, I'm telling you, the more I live in this world, the more I'm drawn to God. And that's how it should be. The more I'm drawn. I mean, I mean, there's stuff God's telling me about in my personal life to just get rid of completely, just not to even be a part of. Because of all the things that come with it. I know I can't live in a bubble somewhere, even though I'd like to. It'd be great to me, Melanie, and my family live in one bubble, us five, the Lewis bubble. We just roll along life, all of us together. No problems, no issues, no tragedy, no tribulations, no storms, no battles. Just a little bubble rolling around. Everybody's good. Read our Bible and eat our pancakes and watch our Matlock and, you know, everything's good. We're rolling in a bubble. But life's not like that. There's a lot of stuff that comes into our life. But you know what? We do have a bubble of protection with God that we can go to in our times. Like the song, Bruce is Beautiful. I've heard that song, you know, hadn't heard it in years. I mean, I don't know if it's ever been sung here, maybe. I think Grandma sung it a few times here. But beautiful song. It's easy to have faith when you're on the mountain. It's in the valley when it's tested to see what you're really made of. And I thank God I have a God that even though maybe I can't feel him the way I want to at times, I know he's there. And by faith, that gives me strength to know, God, you're with me. Man, I sure can't see you right now, but God, I know you're there. I may not can feel you, God, but I know you're there. Just begin to spend that time with God and let him begin to bring change into your life. God will bring change if you'll let him. But you know what? We've got to be willing to change. We've got to want to change. Some folks don't want to change. I talk to a lot of people. I don't want to change. I'm happy in my life. No, you're not. You're not happy. You can't be happy. There's no peace. I'm going to say this very bold, just like it is. It's just like it is. To me, it's not even an opinion. It's a fact. You cannot have, a human being cannot have real peace or real joy without a relationship with God. It's just not there. I mean, there's no way. If that was true, then why do we bounce from thing to thing to thing to get our fix? Thing to thing to thing to get our joy. Thing to thing to thing to get our peace. We bounce around trying to find what makes us happy. All along, the only thing is God's calling your name. Come to me. I've got what you need. Yeah, there's going to still be storms, still going to be trials, still going to be tribulations and temptations. But you've got a rock now to cling on. You've got a foundation to stand on. There's real peace and joy knowing where you're going. See, I know, church, where I'm going. I know that I'm going to hear that trumpet sound. I know I'm going to see that portal open. I know I'm going to see the face of my Creator. I know that I know that I know that the Alpha and the Omega I'm going to be a part of. I know that. I know I'll be the throne of God. I know I'm going to shed this immortality. I know I'm going to walk in divine healing and health and a perfect state one day. I know that. And when you know your future, you can have peace in your present. We got to remind ourselves of our future, of what we're waiting on. Most of us work for retirement. We can't wait to our retirement days. And bless Doc and Debbie, they're living the retirement dream, man. Park down in Florida. I got an address from Doc the other day, and it kind of was funny. When your address says Lot 6. Okay. Lot 6, or whatever it was. They're living the dream. Doc texted this morning, by the way. So he listened to both messages last Sunday. It was really a blessing. So I encourage y'all to go online, listen to our messages. They're very clear. They're just like you're hearing here live. Go back and hear these messages over again to get your spirit built up. But they're living the dream. They worked all their lives for this moment. So they sell, or trying to sell their home. They leave their kids. Sorry, T. They buy a camper, and they're off the road living the retirement dream. Well, you know what? We, too, have a retirement dream waiting on us as God's creation. Melanie told me this morning that she was hearing about Billy Graham, that talking about praying for him, that his health is okay, but they know he's ready to go home. And so be praying that the prayers kind of change now. They're saying pray that he goes home. We used to pray he'd be healed and stay here, but we know it's time. The family knows it's time. He's ready to go home. all the years of labor for Reverend Graham. The millions and millions and millions of lives he touched. The dozen presidents or so he was a part of their lives. Can you imagine joining hands with all those presidents and saying a prayer of faith, having that opportunity? He was in every nation of the world, pretty much. Translators in different languages preaching the grace of Jesus. Stadiums with thousands and thousands of people just glued every word that he said, talking about Jesus. Now, he's got a future waiting on him, and so do we. In the few short years we are blowing it here, living for ourselves and trying to find satisfaction in things that don't satisfy, we could be living a life of productivity, helping others find that same peace and joy. And keeping in mind this, there's going to be a day I cross over. There's a day I'm going to see Jesus. And that's all that matters. I'm going to see my Lord. And I believe that God has, Angela made this point a couple years ago, and I never forgot it. I believe it is true that God has something different for each one of us to see when we cross over. Whatever that desire of our heart may be, that person, whatever it is, that God, just like the sun sets different every night, I think God's got a different portal for every human being. I don't think any two people see the same thing when they walk through those gates. There's something different for every eye to behold because God gives us our desire. And so when Billy Graham is off this earth, there's going to be a great void, a great void. It's going to be a great emptiness upon America. 95 years old he is. Been preaching since he was 17. All those years, all the harvest, all the lives. You know, and Billy Graham's a great example to me as a pastor. There was never any integrity issues with him, never any money issues with him, never heard him on the news. You don't see him on CNN and being investigated. He kept his life above reproach. You know how hard that was, as big as he was? You know, one thing he shared he used to do when he would go off on his evangelistic trips, he would send people in ahead of his hotel room to make sure nobody was in there hiding to try to trick him or get a picture of him or a woman being there. He'd go send somebody to make sure the room was clear before he even walked into a hotel room. That's integrity. Wow. But his harvest is on the way, and so is ours. Our harvest is on the way, church. Be ready for it and be happy about it. And realize, we got to go through this ordeal to get there. But my God, what's waiting on us on the other end can't compare to what we're dealing with right now. That's what Paul said. He said, nothing can compare on this earth to what God has waiting on me. So it's worth standing for. It's worth believing in. See yourself as forgiven. See yourself. Because until you see yourself as God sees you, you can't be what God wants you to be. Church, we are not ugly in the eyes of God. We are not bad in the eyes of God. We are His creation. And He wants us to come to Him for help and for our hope and for repentance, to acknowledge our sin and say, God, forgive me, I've been wrong. And I'm ready for change. I'm ready for change in my life. I'm ready for change. I'm talking to you here. I'm ready for change in my life as your pastor. I'm ready for personal change in my life, my heart and my thoughts, and I'm ready for change. I don't want to be part of this world caught up in all of its junk. I'm ready to separate myself. Are you ready to separate yourself and be followers of God? No matter what you see. Followers of God. Not followers of this world. The Bible says we are in this world. We're not of this world. We've got to live here. We can't shut our eyes. I realize that. But we don't have to be like them. We are different. We are stamped with Jesus. Be proud of that. My God reigns and my God lives. Hallelujah. Bruce, you think you and Chuck on the guitar and the piano could play this little something together soft, some music? We want to give you a chance to respond to the message this morning. I didn't get to Acts 9. I had another verse, but I didn't get to it this morning. But that's fine. We got to where we needed to be this morning. I want you to think about just for a minute where you stand right now in your heart with God. Are there things in your life that you want to be different? Are you ready for God to change some things? Change the things in your mind, in your home, in your heart, in your family? Are you ready for God to change some things? You got to be willing to surrender to Him before any of that happens. You got to be willing to surrender and say, God, I'm ready for change. What I want to do this morning, a little bit different this morning, what I feel led to do. We'll pray together this morning, believing as we pray, and your heart is right, your heart is true, it's honest, that God's going to meet that need in your heart today, if you're honest. But we must be honest with God. We must be honest with Him. There's only one thing can fill that emptiness you feel today, that void. Some of you feel a void. You know, there's a void. There's something missing. It's that relationship. I'm talking about a real relationship, not a knowledge of God, but a relationship with God. There's a difference. If you're here today and you want God to change some things, you want to give your heart to Him, you want to rededicate your life to Him, you want to just surrender to His will for your life this morning, whatever that is, I'm going to ask you to just stand where you're at and just stand in place. And the ones that stand, we'll go pray together as a church group. We'll go pray a prayer of rededication, a prayer of salvation, a prayer of change, if that is you this morning. We're going to let the words come out of our mouth, and we'll confess before our God today. We, church, are in such a generation of darkness, but there's still light shining. There's still light shining, and that light is Jesus. He wants to break your chains today. He wants to help you. He loves you. Gosh, He loves you so much. He doesn't see you as a failure. He doesn't see you as a mistake. He doesn't see you as all that you've done. He sees you as His creation. He spoke you into existence. God Himself spoke you. He, just as He spoke the seas and the sky and the firmament and creation, He spoke you into this earth. And you are here by destiny, by design, and with purpose. I want to say this prayer. I want the church, as I pray, just go pray what God gives in my heart right now. I want you to just repeat, just say the prayer as I pray. Just repeat it together as a body. Those of you that are standing, that are true, that are asking God for help today. Lord Jesus, I stand before You, acknowledging my sin, acknowledging my failures, acknowledging all of my mistakes. I need You, Lord. I'm asking You today to come into me and do a change. Change my thoughts. Change my heart. Change my ways. I want to follow You, Lord. I confess You, Jesus, as Lord and Savior of all creation. Heal my brokenness. Restore my strength. Give me peace. Give me joy. Fill my emptiness. Fill this void. And change my heart, that I will live for You and I will serve You and not be ashamed. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for forgiving me. And thank You for never forsaking me. I love You, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated this morning. Thank you very much for that. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like
allowing God to come in and do a work. And there's nothing like confession from our mouth. Our ears hearing that word coming out of our mouth. That's very important. Never be too proud to confess to God, church. We're not that holy. We never get that holy. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for the service this morning, for the word that's come forth. God, that you do change our lives if we'll let you. There are so many uncertainties, God, so many struggles and so many battles that each of us are going through. But we are not alone, Lord. We have a friend, a comforter, a savior, a God, a rock, a stabling force in you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your spirit that's here this morning, God, for your Holy Spirit that's present in this place. Thank you for what you have done, for the chains that have been broken, for the lives that have been refreshed here today. Thank you for that. For the ones that you have spoken to in a deeper way, in a different way, I thank you for that as well. God, we give you praise, honor, and glory for who you are, and we can't live one day without you. We can't live one day without you. Father, we ask now as we are about to give of our offering, we ask you bless our offering as we give unto you, Jesus, of our substance. We give it with love. We give it with obedience. We give it with gratitude and thanksgiving as we are given to you, God. We bring our offering to this altar, laying it upon the altar for you, God, surrendering unto your will. Thank you for blessing our lives and bless every hand that sows a seed today and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.